I was having a shit.
Ta-ta-ma.
Yep.
Bahrain Grand Prix.
The Bahrain Grand Prix.
Welcome to Kimmy's Toilet Break. We're recording the third race in a row, the day after the race.
We're on such a fucking roll.
We're on a roll. Let's keep the streak going.
Yeah. I was going to say we're getting more professional, but the last episode did sound a bit like we were in a well.
A cave, I like to think.
A cave that was being cleaned.
Yeah, that's fine.
Last week's, I like that you left in a few of the bits where I was like, obviously edit this out, while I just started talking. I was like, oh, best radio communication. Like, yeah, edit this out and we'll just play it in. And then in the fucking thing that I listened to, it's me going, yeah, obviously at this point, we'll just... Like, so professional, Tom Hanks. Cheers, mate.
I thought it added to the...
And I love you punctuating all my shit jokes with a Garage Band sound effect. After everyone's like, doing.
Let's just start off by...
Well, I wanted to start, like, to keep some structure to it, talking about what's happened between the race and everything, but I kind of just want to talk about the race, because it was amazing.
It was amazing. Best race for ages. Certainly better than anything last season. Combined, yeah, like the whole of last season.
What? But wasn't last season this race where we had... No, the last race in Malaysia, we had Moto 21. That was a pretty good race.
That was pretty good.
But in terms of on-track action... Fucking amazing.
Pretty
race.
Fucking good. So, especially because it was Bahrain and expectations were pretty low.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty amazing. Everyone I've spoken to loved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it wasn't just me.
They were so keen, weren't they, to point out how amazing it was afterwards.
Everyone seemed to be buzzing around the
whole
of the place.
Because it was Mercedes that won, and they were just interviewing, you know, primarily Mercedes team members and drivers. So they're obviously the ones that, what I was going to talk about in between, you know, what's happening between races is all the bitching about the few regulations, about it's boring and all of this kind of stuff because they've, you know, they've undermined the sport or whatever. So Mercedes are the team that's going, nah, it's bollocks, it's brilliant because they've got the best car. Yeah. So then they're interviewing them and all of the Mercedes team are just going, oh, it's boring, isn't it? It's really boring.
These taxis, like, these silver taxis.
Yeah. So, and they, like, you know, they interviewed, what's his face? Louder, and he was like, all this talk about
bullshit.
Everyone being just bullshit.
Bullshit.
Later, he couldn't apologise quick enough. But it was legitimately an amazing race because even though the Mercs fucked off miles out front and were never in any threat, it was so close between them, and it was just all like, inter team battles all the way down the field.
The inter team battles are getting very exciting. So
we've all agreed it was brilliant.
We all agreed, everyone.
Let's just go back and remind
ourselves
why it was brilliant.
Let's all calm down.
Sit back down.
Just don't get so overexcited. I didn't watch qualifying live.
Didn't you?
No.
But you did watch it.
I saw Q3, and that was all.
Oh, okay.
So you're gonna have to talk me through.
Well, there wasn't like really anything on track that was really notable. They were trying to do the fastest lap. It's kind of conventional kind of qualifying format. But the things that preceded Q3 was Q1 and Q2. Again, sticking to the format.
I wish they'd mix it up a bit.
In Q2, Hülkenberg went out.
Yes.
After everything was saying about him being, like, you know, out driving the car and everything, then had kind of a uncharacteristically poor qualifying, and Perez got through. So that was kind of fairly surprising. But in his interview straight after, Hülkenberg was just like, yeah, I fucked up the lap. And was really like...
I did see you.
Like, he was pissed off because he didn't get the most out of the car kind of thing. He didn't make any excuses at all, which was like, yeah, I didn't do it. I'm annoyed because I made a mistake and it wasn't really good enough. But then, Vettel went out as well and kind of... Yeah, weirdly said the same thing, just came out and was like, not fast enough.
Yeah, so. I was shocked at Vettel. Obviously, again, Ricciardo getting way more out of that car.
Yeah, he just seemed to have, as they kept saying, had the tighter package this weekend.
Whee!
Uphill. I really do enjoy the talk of the package.
Package, nicely packaged rear end.
Exactly, all of that.
I mean, Ricciardo... Brilliant.
Yeah, and so he ended up third in Q3, so effectively first of the non-Mercs, so that was great for them.
Then dropped down, obviously, disappointingly.
Which again, total bullshit, I think. Like, I mean, they said it in the coverage, but he got, you know, he lost enough time for the wheel coming off anyway in that stop. He lost like a lap, basically. Then they gave him a drive-through during the race, and then a 10-place grid penalty for the next race. It just...
There's a lot of smacks in the shops.
Exactly, for, you know, something that wasn't anything to do with
it. It wasn't a massive misdemeanor. I mean,
But it's just not the driver. It just really fucks me off when the driver and the race gets compromised for something that's not to do with them. Like, I understand. Yeah, exactly. I understand they've got to penalise them for an unsafe release. They've got to discourage it in some way. But I think it needs to be more of a case-by-case basis of, like, they look at the stop and say, well, was it a
danger? Was it Sebastian Vettel? Yes.
But that did shift up Bottas into third on the grid and Perez into fourth, which is just, like, brilliant to see a front kind of 6-7 cars that were just last season, you wouldn't have dreamed of. I mean, Massa was up there, isn't he, in, like, fifth, wasn't he, or sixth?
Yeah.
And Button had a respectable qualifying and...
It's just so nice to see it so mixed up for a change, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I think that's it.
Obviously the top two are quick, but the nice thing is...
But at least it's a different two cars.
At least it's different two, and they're just so close.
They are so close, that's what it comes down to.
And they're exciting to watch.
The difference between those two drivers is way less than the difference between Vettel and Webber was.
Yeah. So they did Jensen's 250th Grand Prix?
Yeah, it was loads of people's 250th thing that weekend.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know why I noticed this.
In a fun or just...
No, just in sport. And I now can't remember any of the other examples.
Yeah.
Oh no, Frank Lampard scored his 250th goal for Chelsea.
Was it deflected?
Yeah, it's off his arse.
The penalty.
Yeah. And there was something else as well. It was in the footy. And I was just like, it's 250th weekend. Yeah. We'll cut that bit. I'm doing the fucking edit, so we actually will.
And it was the 300th Grand Prix.
300th Grand Prix?
No, it wasn't.
It was the 900th.
It was the 900th Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And it was the 10th year at Bahrain.
Was it?
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yes.
But you notice this year, no one's so fussed about racing in Bahrain.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they've got over human subjugation as an issue.
It's not a problem.
We're over it.
Yeah, we're more worried about the noise of engines.
Yeah.
It can't drown out all the people being starved to death outside the racetrack.
I know, it's really weird. Like, what a contentious issue it was. And how this year, like, just no mention of it at all.
Wasn't on the agenda
at
all, was it?
Yeah,
I noticed that.
It was appropriate to be there or any of those kind of things.
Yeah.
I don't know really where I stood on that. Don't really want to get into that because it's not really particularly funny.
I don't know enough about the issue, but I was pretty surprised that it wasn't at least mentioned. Because I'm sure Bahrain has been in the news in the last six months.
But then is it better that it wasn't mentioned? Because, you know, all the previous 2 years have been, there's lots of people going, should we be here, should we not be here?
And then we're here anyway.
So, you know, it's like, you can't assuage your guilt just by raising the issue, do you know what I mean? Like, just by going, maybe it's a bit naughty that we're here, doesn't make it any more appropriate.
No.
If you then decide, so maybe that someone went, you know, maybe we should just not raise the issue if we're going to fucking do it anyway, which we clearly are.
Yeah. So then, you didn't say it, no, because it was Jensen's 250th, so to honour it, they had a karting race between Brundle, Anthony Davidson and...
Johnny Herbert?
Little annoying one, I was going to say, yes, Johnny Herbert. I always forget his name. He was at the back of the grid again, which was quite good.
Yeah.
And Jensen did his own little pit walk, which was good. And he went up and tweaked Brundle's nipple.
Did he?
Yeah.
Amazing. Why did I miss all of this?
You missed that.
I'm going to go back and watch it.
Because if you
sounds great.
Have to replay that over and over again.
Yeah, get some screenshots.
They had their karting gear on, so you couldn't see who they were. And Anthony Davidson qualified in first, and Jensen went up to him and said, can I just assure you this isn't a child?
So where did Jensen qualify then?
Oh, no, he was doing the commentary. So
he
was
didn't
doing
even
the.
Race.
No, he didn't race. He was like,
In his testimonial.
Yeah. He's probably got some kind of insurance thing, hasn't he, where he can't.
Or drive a fast car? You'd hope not. It's a bit dangerous, mate.
You can't drive a go-kart. Fuck me.
Well, so who won? Who won the karting?
I believe it was Anthony Davidson.
I did actually hear them talk about the fact that they'd done that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, so presumably Davidson won by miles. He weighs half as much as all of them, and he's not over 50. So.
Yeah, he did quite well. And Lazenby looked so... gutted that he wasn't involved in it. So they came back after that piece that had been recorded, and Lazenby just went to them, you three lemons in your ill-fitting suits, and he just looked so gutted, like David Brent style. Oh, you all look like such idiots.
Yeah, glad I wasn't there.
Glad I
wasn't even invited.
He just looked, you know, when someone's just trying to smile, but deep
crying,
down he's crying
inside.
Crying inside, like, no one said to me about it. Oh, I'm sure we mentioned it. No, I would
this is a group email. Were you not? You met my contact. Sorry, mate. Next time. Jensen's 500th race.
Next time round.
We'll be right there.
We'll definitely invite you. Jensen had a nice kind of buttoned up shirt tucked into shorts look going on. He looked like my dad when he on really? Holiday. Yeah, which was quite random.
Amazing. He's getting on a bit now.
He is actually, because they were obviously showing footage of his older races. Mm. He's aged nicely, you know. Jensen's matured well, but he doesn't seem to have really... I know he's getting on, but he looks pretty much the same as he did 10 years ago.
He is
so.
Kind of one of those people that doesn't seem to have really aged.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis is 29 now, which...
He's getting on. He's balding a bit.
Yeah. Well, I just thought, like... Hair. Yeah, you think of, like, kind of drivers over 30, and you kind of think they're towards the end of their career, but you don't think of Lewis as being towards the end of his career, do you?
No.
But next season, like, you're going to that bracket, and you think you're fucking 19-year-olds in it. He's 10 years older than some of the guys in F1. That's kind
of... It just shows you how long it's been, you know, it's been 6 years since he won the championship.
I thought we would have done more by now.
Yeah, come on, Lewis. I was reading last week on some website, I think it was Jalopnik, did a article about who's the Red Bull driver? Toro Rosso? Vern.
Yeah.
The fact that he was ill between the Australian and Malaysian Grand Prix because he was starving himself so much to try and get down to the same kind of weight as Fiat. Because apparently he loses 4/10 through his weight.
Okay.
He was completely exhausted, like malnutrition, the works, because he was trying to get his weight down so much. It was like... I don't trust that Fiat guy. He's been... I think he's been bullying him.
Oh, yeah, he's the one that you said was a Bond
fan. Yeah, I think he's been, like, cyberbullying him, calling him a fatty and stuff. He's really got in his ear.
Yeah. And he's been, on his computer when he's not there, and he's just Googling weight loss things, so he gets retargeted with all those adverts.
Yeah. Come on, fatty.
So lose weight now.
But, yeah, I couldn't believe that. He'd been in hospital.
That's mental, because, you know, he's a professional athlete. Like, you would think they've got teams of dietitians and stuff like that, you know, whenever at Toro Rosso, they just turned into an NHS direct.
Yeah, which is closed down. So, good luck with that. He'd been in hospital, malnutrition stuff. I was just like, that is so fucked up.
Yeah, that's really not good look for the sport, is it? Why don't they just raise the Why don't they just raise the weight limit a little bit? Like, would that be such a terrible thing? Well, you know, like, say you have the weight limit for the car, and then, like, if your driver's under a certain weight, or do you think that negates some of the advantage for a lighter driver?
Probably.
Well, I mean, it obviously does, but do you think that's a bad thing? I don't know.
It depends how light you're going to need to be. I mean, Fiat is a stick of a man, isn't he?
Anthony Davidson has to go in with one of those Acme one-ton weights next
year. Anthony Davidson in the wheel. In the actual wheel, I think it's my balance is a bit off at the moment. I just chucked my umbrella on the other one. I mean, that Fiat guy is just... Every time they mention Vern to him in an interview, he's got some jibe.
Yeah.
So Pinkham said, I'd just spoken to Vern on the way to...
He went, oh, Vern, tiny penis, son of the guy.
Yeah, really fat. Oh, yeah, seen him come through. And she said, yeah, Vern's just been through. He's feeling quite confident in the race. Is that Anthony more confident?
Really?
Yeah, he said that. It was, like, totally cutting him down. Like, that guy's evil.
I look out for him.
He's evil. And on the grid walk, actually, I saw that Helmut Marko was having a one-to-one with him.
Was that the thing that his name can remember last week?
Yeah. Written down this week.
Seamless.
Seamless, you see that?
Yeah.
Highlighting it with my mouse.
Yeah, underline bogus.
Yeah, he was having a one-to-one. You know I'm going with this now. He was having and he's quite scary. He's kind of Bond-filling-ish. And I was thinking, he's training him. He's like a Jedi Bond villain.
What, on Kvyat?
On Kvyat, yeah.
His little protege.
He's the one with the wonky eyes.
I know who you mean, yeah.
So they kind of point in different directions, saying, I see what you did there, Mr. Bond. And Kvyat. That's where you can put him on those effects.
Classic.
Boom.
Very good.
Thank you.
Try that on yourself.
And So the grid walk, you did not see the grid walk.
No, I didn't see
obviously.
The grid walk. Tell me more about the grid walk. Then.
They saw Adrian Newey was spying on a load of the other cars. He's so blatant, isn't he? Like X-rays him with his eyes because he's a cyborg.
He takes a picture.
And Brundle was like, "Oh, you're see, you're eyeing up the Toro Rosso. Don't you know what that looks like?" "You're always getting ideas on the grid, aren't you, Adrian?" And he was like, "Yes, Martin, I was just looking at your wife. She's very aerodynamically packaged." She was like suggesting he would look at anything for the size of her. Very neat, very aerodynamic. That didn't go as well as I was hoping.
Nice, mate. Yeah.
Fuck. I'll edit this week. Martin Brundle went a bit ghetto this week as well. He was saying top man to anyone that would listen to him.
He does say that quite a lot.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does say
top man.
That's where he gets his shirts from.
Yeah, top man.
She's got a little endorsement deal. It's like Rihanna. If you go into top man, you get pictures of Martin Brundle's face on your shirt.
Brilliant. All of them. Seductive.
Absolutely buy that t-shirt if it just had Martin Brundle's face, massive on the front, really red face with one of his gold necklaces on. And it's a fucking range of clothing right there. There's a lot of people that would get on board with that. Right. I'm going to get some printed
edit that out because we're going
to
do that.
Yeah. Straight to the den.
Straight. His favourite thing, and I don't know if he was saying this ironically, but Big Ron, you don't fuck with Big Ron.
Right. Is that just your opinion?
That's my opinion.
he's a scary man.
That's scary. He was talking to Nick Mason from Pink Floyd. They were in a bit of an intense chat. And Martin said, "Oh, I want to go and chat to them, but I really hate interrupting people having a conversation."
Funny way of showing it, mate.
Yeah, and then he just steams in, knocks Nick Mason out of the way. All right, Ron.
Yeah. Kicking dude on the floor. Yeah. Stay down.
Kicking that woman from Sky, the German one.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't mind me. Just like hit her in the face with
you don't mind waiting, do you? No, good. He loves using that one, doesn't he? Yeah. We're actually live.
Are you
it's
live?
His favourite line.
Aaron Fortin, are you? He's a bit of a git on the thing. Jules Holland was there. And he was up front for the National Anthem as well.
Yeah, was he doing it on the piano?
What the fuck is this?
Woogie Woogie National Anthem.
Yeah. Does he go to the F1 a lot? Have you ever seen him on the grid walk?
I haven't, no.
I just thought he was proper random to be there at the front with Bernie and all of the...
But F1 always... I mean, what last week Benedict Cumberbatch was doing the interviews on the podium.
It's all getting too surreal for me, mate.
It's really fucking bananas the way that they've gone, like... It is just, it's going more and more like a little celebrity loving, isn't it? They actually talk at the beginning of the coverage about which celebrities are there, and that really fucks me off.
I don't give
off.
A flying fuck who's there.
It really aggravates me that the celebrity culture is permeating, like, I know Formula One's, but like, it's kind of, you can see why.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of a perfect blend. It's all overpaid, like... juvenile millionaires, so yeah, I guess fits right in. But it just fucks me off when they're like, "Oh, and this week we've got so and so and so and so." It's like, yeah, what are they going to give us some insight into the race? Are they?
Well, it's like Brundle gets told in his ear, "Go and talk to Kylie about the race." And he's like, fuck's
sake. Yeah.
Jerry Halliwell, she is always turns up at Monaco, and I'm just like, please. I don't want to buy another television.
Just so you can put your hand.
I have to kick this one in again. Oh, she just gets so overexcited. But any of the celebrities don't really... I mean, it'd be like talking to us on the grid. Yeah. It would be mindless, unplanned thoughts.
I don't mind it when they are, like, mad Formula One fans. Mm. They're, like, avid Formula One, and you're like, oh, that person that we know from this other thing also likes Formula One. That's interesting. But when they literally have no interest, and I'm sure everyone there just gets so... everyone watching at home just gets so fucked off with the fact that they're there, on the grid, best seats in the house, getting it all comped. Like, you know, they're the ones that need it the least and appreciate it the least and get it. Like,
they had the guys from Kasabian a few, like, last season.
Yeah.
They can't even remember what team they were there with.
No, I know, so, yeah. I remember seeing that, actually, as well. And they're just, like, so up their own arse. Mm. And, they just, really fucks me up.
Kylie actually knew what she...
I get quite angry about this.
Actually, no, it's Danny Minogue. She knew what she was talking about, actually. I didn't mind Danny. Danny was fine, but... Those cunts from Kasabian. and Jerry Halliwell.
It does. It really winds me up.
Yeah.
I guess Bahrain is probably going to be one of the worst culprits for that, isn't it? Just, it's gaudy and ostentatious. Like,
it seems to be kind of mostly aging rockers around this
weekend.
Yeah,
well, so Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
But he does love cars.
He loves
cars. That's a well-documented thing. And it was quite funny, just like he was clearly pissed when he was doing those podium interviews.
Well, hey, man, why are you for, man? Nico Rosberg looked ready to tackle him to the ground. I think he thought he was an imposter. he looked in like, who is this fat fuck? Geordie. Sorry, that's just noise. What are you saying?
Yeah, I did think that when he came up there. I was like, how is he going to have a conversation with Sergio Perez? This is going to be amazing. And then he asked him the question, Sergio Perez. Didn't have a clue what he said,
no.
And just said some stock like platitudes and you know, nice stuff about the other drivers.
Luckily, it fits in.
Yeah. Well, you know, broadly, he was going to say, "How did your race go?" But you just saw him look at him and be like, "You what?
You what,
beg
mate?
Your pardon."
That's fucking mint mate, wasn't it? I've run out of Geordie text.
I was going to say, I really enjoy your Brian Johnson impression.
The thing is with Brian Johnson, he's the lead singer in one of the biggest rock bands of all time, but no one would recognise him in the street.
I mean, I only know who he is, and this is tragic as well, because I'm going to have to admit to the fact that I've watched Top Gear, yeah. But I only know who he is because he's on Top Gear, and I fucking hate Top Gear. Yeah. But
we'll go on record by saying
I fucking hate Top Gear. And I fucking hate all three presenters of Top Gear.
Yeah, equally.
But I do like cars.
Yeah, that's the annoying... Now, the rain you can
hear... Tom, stop weeing on the table. Oh, God. That's literally nothing we can do about that. This week said it, yeah. Sorry, there's just running water. Last week it was Hoover's. It'll add to the authenticity of being in a well, Tom.
Let me help. Stop throwing pennies.
should we talk about the race?
Yeah. We could do, couldn't we?
Yeah. We've covered off Top Gear.
We've done my bad pre-race build-up. You need to start watching the pre-race. That's why I
realised. Yeah. I was really enjoying the Brian Johnson impression. I'm honest with you. I think we could do a podcast that was just that.
Can we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Regional accents.
Next week,
I love regional
accents. Do them in regional accents.
I mean, the main thing was obviously Lewis and Nico at the front of the race. Like, the start was brilliant. Lewis got straight ahead of him, which I did find myself cheering at.
Yeah.
Which at first I thought, you know, this season I thought, oh, I could find myself coming around to being a bit of a Nico Rosberg fan. But then, I don't know. There's some, like, in maybe it's British people or just everyone, there's some deep-seated jingoism where you're just like, yes,
hate Germans,
do it for the island.
Come on, welcome back to the wars, do-da, do-da.
Just remember which one of us said that. It was
Ed, you massive racist. Just a history lesson. So, all it was, I'd actually quite like you to take that out. I've had to take out quite a lot of kind of marginal.
Yeah,
could be construed as.
Yeah, I know no one listens to this.
It's no, okay. it's good.
So yeah, at the beginning, Lewis got straight ahead of Nico, which was great, and then they were just like stupidly close, and it was just Vettel and Webber all over again, wasn't it? Is someone going to yield? Are they just going to crash into each other? I think the difference is that they fundamentally do actually like each other quite a lot more than Vettel and Webber liked each other.
Yeah.
And I think they've both got a bit more respect for their employer.
See, yeah, I mean, we'll come on to it in the
post.
Are
you going to say about his massively passive-aggressive attack of Lewis at the end?
Yeah. Should we come on to that?
Fuck it. At the end, like, he just ran up and bear hugged him and then, like, punched him in the up, and it was such a like, oh, you fucking cunt.
Well, he said, didn't he, after in one of the, not on the podium, but on one of the other interviews, he said, what did you say to him when you were punching him in the face? It's like, I was swearing really loudly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought he was saying to him.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. I mean, I think they do, you know, they do go back a long way, like they were partying together and stuff like that, so I don't think there's the actual out-and-out animosity that there was between Vettel and Webber. But, yeah, at the end of the race, Rosberg was furious.
He was furious for about 2 hours afterwards as well.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I mean, before they go onto the podium, that room there. And it was quite a passive regret. Like, he wanted to let out his frustration. All he could do was, like, bear hug him and punch him.
I'd love
him
it if he just flipped the table over and thrown all the
I just thought he was going to run in from behind and Rochambeau him.
That would be
square in the nuts from behind and then just walk out. Yeah, I mean, he had to go down the, like, oh, it was such a good battle and it was great for the team and all of that kind of thing.
On the podium, he said, there's nothing I hate more than coming second to Lewis. Yeah. And then every interview afterwards, he was saying, you know, he was just really playing it up, really hamming it up, actually, and saying, oh, you know, next time I'm going to win in China. I think he's playing up stupidly, like, massively.
Mm.
I think he's genuinely thinking of the film rights.
Do you reckon?
He's thinking there's going to be...
Shit, yeah. He's watched Senna recently,
he's
hasn't
watched
he?
Senna, he's
watched... This is my chance. This is my chance. No, I could play
more,
me.
More Rush, like... The rivalry, the louder
right, yeah, okay,
thing. He is so totally thinking there's going to be a film of this at some point.
Because I always think that, that absolutely hadn't occurred to me. That had occurred to me with Vettel over the whole of the last two seasons is with his, like, stupid attempts to make profound radio communications at the end of the race.
Yeah.
Like, his lip comes on the radio and gives these really, like, succinct...
Yeah,
like, sound bites, that's it. And, yeah, I'd thought that then before. It was like, that is just for the coverage, isn't it? Like, you don't need to say... Why do you need to say to your mechanics, like, that really kind of broad, overarching, like, yeah, don't worry, we'll get them, we'll get there one day at a time, and all of that kind of shit. You're like, you're going to fucking see him in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
tell him then, mate.
Yeah, and do you really think he would ever go back into the garage and, be, like, put his arm around them and be like, we'll get there one day at a time? They would just piss themselves like, laughing. Be all right, mate.
Yeah.
Just a Formula One race.
And Nico Blakeney, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, well, that's quite flattering, isn't it? No, Leonardo DiCaprio would be fat and old by then.
Yeah.
He's going that way. He's really lost his looks.
Do you think?
More and more we're talking about the attractiveness of Formula One drivers in the podcast.
Well, you know, we're only human, eh?
It's true. They're a sexy bunch. But yeah, I mean, I think they both raced. Like, you know, really fairly, really good. There was that one attempt that Nico made where Lewis kind of forced him off the outside. And I even said at the time, I was like, Lewis wants to be careful there because he could genuinely get himself from the FIA a drive-through for that. And then he's going to finish fifth or something. Like, he really could have... But no one said anything about it. They didn't even really in commentary.
No.
Rosberg didn't complain about it. And I just thought...
Well, when Pinky pushed him a bit on some of the overtakes, he said, oh, I pushed it a bit, but... Yeah, on the whole.
I think there was one radio communication earlier on where Rosberg was like, oh, he didn't leave me any room or something like that. He said something a bit narky like that. But I thought the one later on, when they came back on and Lewis was on the slower tyres and he had to fend him off those last laps, it was due, like one of the first couple of laps after the safety car when that happened. And I genuinely thought for a second that there was going to be some kind of consequence to that, but there wasn't in the end. But it's just an incredible risk. I mean, they started off and they were so close together. And you could see, like, they kept cutting back, didn't they, to the Mercedes team wall, and they were just pissing themselves that they were going to crash into each other.
Yeah.
And then they split the strategy, which just so obviously to keep them apart.
Obviously,
for as long
it wasn't
as,
that a tie choice. Yeah. Toto Wolff denied it, but it's pretty clear.
He did, didn't he? He said it wasn't, he was like, it wasn't just to keep them apart, but then they interviewed someone else. I think it was Lauda. I can't remember who it was. They interviewed someone else who just went, yeah, obviously that's why we did it. I think Lewis did, I mean, yeah, just to say, Lewis did a fucking incredible job to keep Nico behind him on those tyres at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of just said that, but he really did. Like, when the safety car came out, you're like, oh, it's fucked. Because, you know, that whole strategy was predicated on him having the hard tyres but a lead to protect it with. And then, when that all got undone...
Well, I guess that's a good segue into... That was the point at which the race went fucking mental.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking this when I was watching it. I was like, is that what we need? Three quarters of the way through the race, you just say, everyone stop for a minute, get back in your position so we can see what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, start again. And it just worked perfectly, didn't it?
It was just insane. Because on the first few laps, it was kind of a procession of where... The weird thing was, it was almost like the same kind of procession going around, but everyone was in different areas of the track, and it was just like fucking carnage.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
But even in those first few laps, I swear, there was more overtakes than there normally are.
Yeah.
There was more changing of
positions. But even watching them come round, they obviously tend to take the same route in Apex.
Oh, right, you mean the actual lines they were taking?
The lines they were
the
taking were all over. Like, they showed the long view down the main straight. And like everyone was in different positions across the track, obviously taking in the marbles and stuff. I was just like, this is just
mental. Yeah, and you did see so many people taking different lines to get overtakes done as well, and really unconventional lines. I don't know. I mean, the track's really wide there, isn't it, at points? And I mean, that does allow it. But I mean, I was pleasantly surprised at how many times you saw someone go for a move that you just didn't think they were going to go for.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the straight, you just thought, you're so used to seeing them come down the straight and like kind of look and go, nah, wait another lap.
Just and like, fucking going.
And
for
they,
it.
They were just going for it, yeah. Yeah. Like they were, and I mean, there was a few, like Bianchi going into Sutil, where like, that was fucking stupid. But I loved it that he went for it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a few like, yeah, times like that where someone just went, nah, fuck it. And just
well,
like,
you know who went, oh, fuck it, yeah. Pastimal Nardo.
Yes.
I am flipping over.
That was amazing. That was absolutely. Just do it, one of our segments in air quotes, highlight of the race. I mean, we didn't, like, thankfully he wasn't hurt,
yeah.
Obviously. That was really fucking gnarly accident.
But
they just showed the replay. And this Gutierrez comes to the radio and goes, whoa, what was that?
My reaction would have been, upside down.
He just literally, like, done two barrels upside down with his car. And he's just like, what's that? Did someone hit me?
Like there was an explosion or something.
Yeah, and my sister just goes, oh, fucking Pastor Murdonardo's out
here.
Like, that is his name for the rest of the season.
That is quality. That is brilliant. Yeah, that was just absolutely.
But, like, what wacky racer's button did Maldonado press on the front of his car that just deployed the flip button? Like, what the fuck?
I know he's got a reputation and he got a penalty for it. Even he can't have expected that to happen.
Yeah.
I bet he was like, oh, fucking typical. Typical. First flip of the fucking season. It's me. All I did was touch him with the tyre.
It was really funny. It was really funny anyway. Just because, I mean, so glad that we can laugh about it and Gutierrez was fine, because that could have been horrendous. He was fine. His reaction was the fucking priceless. I didn't stop laughing for about 5 minutes afterwards. And then when I found out it was Maldonado, I basically fell off my chair.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that is like the best bit of F1 that we've had in years right there.
Can we just have him timed to come out and flip people over all race?
Just, yeah, the wild card comes out at like half race distance and just starts like mixing things up a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you obviously realise why there's that massive bit of fucking metal behind the
head. Yeah, over their heads.
Yeah.
There's
not a lot of space there, though.
No.
I mean, was kind of trying to imagine where it would have hit the ground.
The way he got out of the car as well. Like, I mean, he did sit there for a while.
I thought he was kind of dazed
and
out.
Yeah. But then he got out of the car and I just thought, if that was me, I'd be like, no, you fucking get me out.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm fine. Did you see what just happened?
Yeah. I've just shit myself.
Yeah. And I'm making pasta, clean it up.
Yeah. What was that? You've just been flipped over at 100 miles an hour.
Did I just fart?
I've seen photos since where it's just been captured where he's, like, pasta is obviously up the right way.
Yeah.
And then Gutierrez is...
Like, yeah, horizontally upside down.
Upside down, just, like, meeting him in the middle. It's just, yeah, surreal. Did notice, and... What I don't know, I know it's a thing. The wooden plank underneath the car.
Yeah, I did notice that when he flips as well. It's amazing, isn't it? It's the most low tech thing in the whole of F1. There's just a bit of MDF nailed to the bottom of it.
Why? I need to understand.
No, they said it's because it skims along the floor. So it's got to be something that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if that's metal,
true.
Imagine how much heat that's generating and everything.
Imagine how much better it would be.
Yeah. Well, you get the sparks anyway, don't you?
Did
you see them coming down the straights?
Yeah.
So many times. When Ricciardo got past Vettel, that was one thing that I noticed. Vettel went offline, so did Ricciardo, but Vettel was in the middle of the track where it was obviously just a bit bumpier. There were so many sparks there, I thought, that, you know, I know they say, oh, they all bump along the ground. That must have been losing him time. There's no way that much friction isn't costing you a little bit of time. And when it's in an overtaking mover at the end of a straight, just that those fractions must make a difference.
Oh, definitely.
But there's always loads of sparks. So, yeah, without that bit of wood, it'd be fucking carnage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hilarious, obviously.
Yeah, funny.
Put strips of magnesium underneath, it really spice it up.
What's the lightest... I wonder what Adrian Newey must fucking hate that. He's like, reads this year's regulations. Oh, fucking wood again. How do we make it lighter? Just like get loads of fucking wood worm on there and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would conjecture that wood's probably slightly lighter than metal, so it's probably not... Like,
he'd
make the whole thing out of wood if he could.
Maybe. the Force India's on Massa was like two eagles hunting a fucking sparrow. It was just like they were both pouncing.
And that really pissed me off, actually, that Perez overtook Hülkenberg, because Hülkenberg, they both would have got past him quicker if Perez hadn't done that, I thought, at that time. When Perez took that move, I was like, I see why you've done that, obviously. You've taken the opportunity to get past Hülkenberg, you don't qualify, and you're having a great race. Like, you can totally respect that. And he hadn't quite got past him, and it had been behind him for a lap or something, but he was just about to fucking get past him. And then because of that, it then reset everything, and it took Perez two laps to get past him, and then Hülkenberg another lap, and then, you know, that all happened. But, yeah, obviously, from Perez's point of view, it's like, there's a car in my way, I'm going around him.
It was
amazing.
It was great. It was just like both of them ready to pounce on Massa.
I mean, the Force Indias look really good. And after everything we're saying about, oh, you know, Hülkenberg deserves a better car, and I was kind of thinking, well, actually, you know, what would he rather be in this season than the Force India? There's probably not much. I mean, he's not going to get a seat in the Mercedes, is he?
No.
So apart from that, like, it, legitimately, what is the second quickest team at the moment? It's probably the Red Bull, just about, maybe. But it's a coin toss, isn't it, between them and the... And probably in the Force Indias, and then
and the Williams.
The Williams
next.
Looks quick, but you have
and
to
they're
say,
very, very track dependent, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think they all are. I mean, you saw this race; it was just Mercedes engines all the way down because of the of the straights and everything. So that is going to change, but I mean, just looks like a tidy package. The old Force India.
And it's so nice to see, like, the celebrations afterwards. They're all clearly not as well funded as any other team, and a bit more lo-fi, and fucking they were actually breakdancing.
Losing their shit.
Just.
I mean, they said in the coverage, but they were fist pumping as they went over the finish line all the way down to Alonso. He came home ninth and punched the air as he came over the line in ninth. You're like, the drivers must have been so buzzing from that race for him to be like, fucking yes,
ninth guys,
2 points back of the net.
Yeah,
but they really were, like, Hülkenberg was, you know, they were all thrilled to finish that. And I think, I don't know, maybe it was just like the adrenaline, because every car in that top 10 had been involved in a really
that's just it
battle.
Everyone
had really
been
close instance where they could have gone out and
But lots of inter-team battles and lots of bitching over the radio. Inter-team bitching.
Oh my god, yeah, the Massa and Bottas thing. I mean, Massa is just always hilarious.
Yeah.
He's never not funny. And have you noticed his little profile picture this season where they do the grid lineup? He's put on a few pounds and he looks angrier. And more, I'm finding that he looks a bit like the Penguin from Batman.
Oh, brilliant.
He hasn't quite got the pointy nose, but he's getting a bit jowly, dark features and everything. It's like, who is this? Danny DeVito, isn't it, in the movies?
One day he's going to get in here and he has blood pouring out of his mouth.
Yeah, he just looks a bit vampiric and stuff. But his battle with Bottas was really good. I mean, fair play to Massa. He got past him right at the beginning of the race and stuff. And
Massa must be loving the Ferraris being so shit as well.
Yeah,
and I'm behind him. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, kind of, but it does kind of fuck me off. He's just such a little bitch, isn't he? He's just so whiny about everything. And, when he came on the radio and went, like, about Bottas, was like, his tyres are going.
Bring him in, guys.
You best bring him in. Do you want me to drive and work with him? Do you just patch me through? Valtteri, your tyres aren't looking too hot, mate. And then even Brundle was like, normally you radio in about your own tyres, don't you? Good. Nice, like, kind of thinking outside the box there, Massa. It's like, he's got no grip. It's like, well, and then there was the, to be fair,
when he breaks lights out, mate, he's like flashing him continuously. Pull over, mate.
He then, to be fair, Bottas then came on the radio and just went, I'd like to come in now, please. After he's had, like, all of the Force Indians and Massa behind him for ages. It's like, I'm getting scared.
Just looks in his wing mirror like someone on a moped who's holding everyone up on a country road.
Yeah, but he said I'd like to pit now if possible.
so polite.
It was really sweet.
Oh, that's brilliant. But the Hulk was whining about Perez's move on him. Looked fine to me.
Yeah, I mean,
just like,
I don't know, because I really like
I like Hülkenberg.
I was more pre-season supposed to have some sympathy, but I mean, largely it was all pretty much fair enough. I didn't see anything like that was that ridiculous. I mean, even Maldonado attempted assassination in Gutierrez wasn't. I mean, it wasn't really that bad, was it? Like,
no.
You didn't, like you said, no one expected that to happen. I think the worst or the most ridiculous thing I thought when I saw it was and I don't know why, because it's such a backmarker thing that was so inconsequential. Just Bianchi's overtake on Sutil. I just found that really funny, that that was just literally never going to work.
Never.
He just thought, well, if I just take this corner as if he's not there, maybe I'll end up ahead of him.
There's tarmac there. There's
yeah.
no car.
I just drove in, like, just T-boned him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fairly amusing. But that was about the only thing.
And I enjoyed Vettel having the radio communication of Daniel is quicker than Yao.
Yeah.
Please move over.
But, and you know, but he had to do this really, but Vettel just went, fair enough.
Yeah.
And then said, I'll let him through at turn 11. So even being helpful, like not wanting to lose him any time and telling him where he's going to let him through and stuff.
I guess he knew his DRS was out.
Yeah, yeah, he
and
did.
So.
But also I think he, yeah, because his car was a bit fucked, he took a very tactical opportunity to be magnanimous.
Yeah.
And you know, go, yeah, see when they
come
said
through, I'll pull over onto the grass, I'll stop for yeah. a while.
I'll park up. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of poetic justice in that, wasn't there? Seeing seeing Vettel getting the your teammates faster message. But Bottas almost ran into the back of Raikkonen. Do you remember that?
He got
the move, but he'd overtaken Ricciardo, I think it was.
Mm.
The move on him was done. And then, I don't know, they said, like, it was like, oh, he was so worried about his mirrors that he didn't see that Raikkonen was braking. But then they showed the replay and they were like, oh, actually, no, he was way past him by that point. Like, Ricciardo had pulled back in behind him. And they were just like, well, he did really well to avoid that, to just run off and, you know. But, like, what the fuck? And then he came on the radio and was like, what's he doing? And he must have been talking about Raikkonen.
Yeah.
But, like, what was Raikkonen doing? He was braking for the corner.
Yeah.
It was a hairpin. Like, it just didn't look
just
like anything.
It seemed like he completely lost concentration.
Yeah, just a momentary lapse of concentration.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly. I just, like, yeah, totally looked. Like when you, which obviously I never do, but you look down to change the radio station and look up and the car in front of you stops at some traffic lights. Yeah. You're like, whoa,
there's a person in your
yeah,
actual window.
You can see their eyes in their rear view mirror. Yeah.
And, like, and then you just drive off really quickly
yeah.
and change the number plate, apparently. Croftyism of the week. Ted Kravitz was trying to tell him something technical that was going on. Crofty cut him off quite a lot this week.
Yeah.
And it was when Button was overtaking Bottas. He went, hang on, Ted. Button on Bottas, the two Bs providing some top-class entertainment. I was like, imagine him high-fiving himself. Like, yes.
Fucking... That is amazing. Yeah. Fuck. I'm going to have to just...
And then Brundle tried to match him on reply. He went, that move on Button was like hot knife through butter. Bottas. Like Alan Partridge style.
That's so good.
Not to be outdone.
They're like, yeah, bad dad joke, one-upmanship.
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
And then they came back to Ted and he was like, okay.
So.
Finish now, guys.
Yeah.
No,
there's another total dadism from Crofty that I can't remember now, but yeah, full of cringy moments as always.
Crofty just needs to get some bigger shirts.
Yeah, do you think that's the problem? Just,
I mean, I fluctuate weight-wise, and you put a shirt on, you sit down, and there's all you can see between all of the buttons.
Yeah.
It's a big bit of flesh. Crofty needs to...
yeah, I didn't see that. I take your word for it.
I mean, we're not that superficial.
No.
We have talked about Lewis's hair. And,
yeah, and Jensen being, like, aging really well.
Yeah.
And Bruno Nico. Senna being sexy.
Yeah.
And Nico being played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, so,
anyone else?
Fine. No. I still love Natalie Pinkham, so... But yeah, just so much craziness going on.
Yeah,
like,
how many times are we going to go? Oh, it's just so
it's
good.
Amazing,
it's just so good.
McLaren.
I was going to say, that's just where I was going. McLaren's, Magnussen. After this great first race, kind of nowhere. And this track, they should have been better, shouldn't they?
They should have been. I mean,
had a pants race. He
they
was
weren't quick
when he went
before
out.
The clutch issues, I guess. But yeah, not brilliant.
But then did Jensen actually have a problem?
Yep, clutch issue as well. They said in the post race.
Okay, I missed that because he just after the safety car,
he lost power. He came on the radio and said, "I lost power," and it was the same issue as Bottas.
Must have been making tea or something.
Yeah,
but I just thought, they restart from the safety car, and Jensen just hemorrhaged places.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Because he was in, like, fifth, wasn't he?
He was running fifth, and kind of, you thought, well, could get podium here.
Yeah,
he's
never
running pretty quick.
When they're all supposed to get the right at the end of the race. And also, you know, in front of him was Perez and Massa, so not two drivers that you're always never going to catch them.
He probably could have got Massa, whether we would have got Perez, I don't know, but
clutch
issue as well, so reliability issues, so disappointing.
Disappointing.
And Leightonby, I know we gave him the name Maggers.
Yeah.
K-Mags.
K-Mags. I think I said K-Mag as well at some
point. I think you did. I think there might be a letter.
Leightonby listening to Kimmy's toilet break.
We wouldn't blame him if he starts getting funnier.
Fucking Kimmy Räikkönen, what are you doing? What are you actually doing?
Oh, you're doing, Kimmy.
I mean, it's the Ferraris in general, but...
Are we going to have to rename the podcast?
Yeah, who's it going to be? So when the safety car came out, I mean, like you said, that's when it all kicked off.
Yeah.
We had the radio communication from Paddy.
Mm.
And he came on and said, let's just bring both cars home, guys.
Yeah.
And when they said that to Lewis, we immediately were like, he better say that to Nico, otherwise Lewis is going to be fuming. And then he came on the radio a second later and was like, yeah, Nico, you better. And then, but it was like long enough late that we were like, have they thought, oh, wait a minute, that went out on TV. Better say Nico. And then we were like, so what does he mean there? Does he mean, like, Lewis, don't be a dickhead, you're on slower tyres, he's going to be at you, just fucking let him through and don't crash? Which was my first thought when they said that to him. Mm. It was like, okay, you've lost, you know, sucks to be you, you've lost the position, you've lost your tactical advantage because of the safety car, but just don't be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Or were they saying... Both of you, like after they came on and said it to Nico, stay where you are, which is another legitimate interpretation of it, just bring them home. You could think that's a hold your positions. And that's what I think Ted came on and was like, well, that's obviously team orders. Or were they saying, which it transpired to be the case, well, I don't know. I mean, we didn't hear any of the radio communication of them coming on going, what the fuck are you doing? So you have to assume that what they actually meant was, just don't crash into each other.
Yeah. Which, unsaid, I would... think, and kind Lewis of. Said that after, and so they didn't really need Paddy coming on the radio.
No, but then they said they were asking Toto about it, and he was like, we were just telling them to be careful, and he said, did they need the reminder? I think possibly, yes. And suddenly, did you notice when they got Toto Wolff in, Leightonby looked tiny again.
Yeah, Toto Wolff is like 9 foot tall, isn't he?
Well, I assumed he must be, because I was like, wait a minute. Look at him, and then look at Anthony Davidson. The cameraman was like just walking backwards and backwards and backwards to get them both in the shot. It was amazing. He had like just Toto Wolff in the nose down, and Anthony Davidson's hair.
I did notice that. Yeah.
But I always thought Leightonby was quite tall.
Yeah, well, compared to the Toto.
Oh. Totem.
Totem Wolff. Yes. Boom. I wonder if that's what Susie calls him.
Yeah, I bet she does. He loves that nickname.
But yeah, it's definitely not team orders.
I don't know. Well,
didn't sound like team orders at all. No, none of us thought that.
No, the like racing director coming on and being like, don't fuck it up.
Don't, if you could just bring them home.
Yeah. I mean... So yeah, apart from all of that shenanigans, which was obviously brilliant, after the safety car, Red Bull's suspiciously quick.
Yeah, suspiciously so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think
that even on the commentary they were a bit suggestive of that, like the Red Bulls suddenly found some pace.
Yeah.
Press that big button that Bernie's got that makes them go a bit faster.
Well, my thinking of it was that
you don't hear his conspiracy, Ed.
I don't. I thought a couple of things. The obvious explanation is, well, they don't have to worry about fuel anymore.
Yeah, and they were just like, for it.
Yeah, go for it. Then I thought, well, with all this stuff about the sensors, I was like, have they just... Because last week they were just like, our sensor's broken.
Yeah.
Have they just gone, oh, fuck it, no one's going to be paying attention to our sensors. Look, well, they almost killed Gutierrez. No one's going to be checking our sensor readings. Fucking go for it, lads.
Yeah, probably. Not me, yeah. They're an unusual position for them to be so far back as well.
Yeah,
no one's
but then
be
they
the
just
top.
Came
They came right through, didn't they? I really wanted Ricciardo to get on the podium after that.
I was I was quite pleased with Perez.
I was pleased.
I saw them on the podium, and Perez and Lewis having a little chat, and we were just like, they're going, It's shit McLaren, isn't it? Yeah, shit McLaren.
yeah. I did think Perez is going to be enjoying
all of them, actually.
Yeah,
everyone that's made a move, basically. All the big moves that before everyone was like, oh, that's such a, why would you do that? Like, you know, it's ended up actually leaving Sauber, brilliant idea. Leaving McLaren, brilliant idea. Leaving Ferrari, brilliant idea.
And you know what McLaren are doing now? Really good idea. Getting rid of the Mercedes
engine. Yeah, and they were talking about that afterwards. And we were like,
everyone's been clamoring for that engine.
Yeah, last season, at the end of the season, or at some point during the season, I remember us talking about it and saying, you know, Honda are going to be brilliant because they've got so much commercial investment in their, you know, economical engines and their hybrids and stuff like that. And so that obviously was the thinking of McLaren. It's like, you know, if Mercedes are so good and everyone's like, yeah, that's because, like, you know, commercially for for that market, you know, they've just had years more research into it, so they can apply the stuff that they've learned. You know, obviously how transferable that stuff is, you don't really know. I'm obviously having no engineering knowledge at all, but you know, on a very high level, that's kind of was the thinking. Yeah. And so by the same token, everyone was like, well, Honda are like the industry leaders in that kind of stuff, and they're a really, really good technology company anyway that do amazing things, so they'll be really good. Yeah, now not looking like such a great idea.
No, not really. Like,
better the devil you know, but maybe. They'll be the only ones with a Honda engine. It's kind of all your eggs in one basket, but if that's the fastest engine next season, are they just going to win the championship?
Are they the only ones who's taking the Honda on next year?
As far as I know, I could be completely wrong.
I have no idea. I haven't heard anyone else.
No, but now, yeah, I mean, don't you just think that Red Bull are on the phone to Mercedes right now going, hey, Red Bull's nice ring to it, doesn't it?
This Renault shit. Yeah. And then, I was about to say the German team.
And can we have Lewis in that deal as well?
Yeah, come on, guys. Seal it.
You can have all of Toro Rosso.
we just
want an engine.
Just give us a decent engine. Yeah, bonkers. I mean, it's bound to change massively again next season. Well, let's not pre-empt next season.
Yeah.
This season's unpredictable enough.
And I mean, that's what it all boils down to this season, why that race was so amazing, was it is just unpredictable.
Yeah.
It would become so entrenched in the, well, Red Bull are going to win, let's see if we can get excited about second down. And now it's, you know, now it's Mercedes are going to win, let's see if we can get excited about third down. But at least it's not fucking Red Bull.
Whee!
And also from third down isn't just like, oh, well, what order are Red Bull and Ferrari and Mercedes going to be? You know,
I'm feeling quite an affection for Force India. I think they're going to be my favourite next team. Just because Hulk's there. And
it's weird because they had De Resta and Souza, and I fucking hated them because both of those drivers were like my most. The two drivers I found the most irritating in Formula One without going overboard saying I fucking hate them.
But I like the Hulk. Perez, I'm liking seeing him actually doing quite well.
I liked Perez. I only didn't like him when he was a bit crap at McLaren and fucked things up for Jensen a few times. Yeah. But I felt sorry for him when they fired him. I didn't think he really deserved that. I thought he deserved another season.
It was like. Yes.
And now, yeah, McLaren must just be like. Magnussen, like, yeah, retiring and being shit, and then they're like, who's that guy on the podium? The guy will be fired.
Remember him? Yeah, so I think we've concluded the race. Post-race, didn't watch a lot of it, but I did watch, obviously, Nico being really grumpy and Lewis's interview. And know that he made some quite inappropriate comments recently about, like, things happening for a reason, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
And he asked Pinky on the interview, so who flipped it? Was it Gutierrez? Was he okay? And then he said, everything happens for a reason. He's like, I'm in the pit stop. It's like, all right, mate.
Yeah, calm down, Glenn.
Yeah, not people nearly dying in fucking cars, flipping over and ski accidents. No.
I think
all the pit stops happen for a reason. Yeah. Well, they do. Yes.
Really profound jokes. Yeah.
he quickly backtracked though, so it's like fair play. Yeah, he realised that doesn't.
Yeah,
no one else believes in all that shit.
No, I mean it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Yeah. So predictions next week. They're not next week. 2 weeks.
So China.
I've got mine.
Chinoise.
It's in there.
It's in there. Is it? Well. So what's the track?
You go first every week.
Yeah, you go first.
I'll
go
first. Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah?
He's going to win.
It's a bit cool, mate.
I know. I genuinely think he's always been quick in China. I remember the year that he didn't win, 2007, when he should have. That was the year when he... Do you remember he was coming into the pit and went onto the gravel?
Did he recover it?
No. He got stranded. It was fucking hilarious. Yes. Well, it wasn't funny because I liked him.
Yeah, because there was another race that season, in the same season, where or the next season, where he almost did the same thing, didn't he? And he just crawled back on to the pit lane. But yeah, I do remember that there was one where he just
I've chosen the one where he beached it in the pit lane.
Lewis, do you know what, though? I think lightning doesn't strike twice. If he did that again, he would rightfully, be booted out of
Get out.
Yeah.
So I'm going for Lewis. Win.
Are you going to go Nico Rosberg second?
I'm not. I'm going to go China. China's my poker.
As if that has any bearing on your choice. China.
Let me think about this. Who likes Chinese food?
David Croft.
David
Croft. Big fan of China. You said you had it in your head.
I had Lewis.
Fucking hell, mate. I won't waste any time this week. I know what I'm going to say. The guy that's won the last two races is in the fastest car. Amazing.
Right, I'm going to go Lewis.
Yeah.
Hulk.
Hulk for second.
Hulk for second.
Fossinger have never got back in third, mate, but I love your optimism.
I like to go out there. I know I always lose, but you've got to get 1 week. I'm going to go so left field.
Yeah.
And Chilton third.
Yes. Mate, go and get a tenner on that now, because you, I mean...
I'm going to regret it if he fucking...
Imagine, it's like 17 retirements and Chilton pools around, finishes minus 8 laps at the end.
So plays.
Yeah. Go you have on. To wait for him up on the podium. He's still going round. They haven't done the national anthems. Oh, finished yet, Max?
He is so shit.
Poor guy.
We love you, Max. Yeah, really. Oh shit.
Yeah, well, we're watching. we're watching qualifying, and we're going from when is that a woman? And I was like, no, but I was like, he does drive the most like a woman. Yeah, I got punched, so you don't have to hate me. It's fine. It's been already been
cats out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. Yes. Predictions.
My predictions. Well, I mean. Is it stupid to say that Lewis is obviously going to win? No, he's
you
not
can't
obviously
have the same
win.
Option as me, that's why I went first this time.
Right, okay, well, in that case, I'm going to go for Rosberg. Okay. Did you ever come... You're actually sticking with Hülkenberg and Chilton? Three. I love it, mate. Okay, well, in that spirit, I'm going to go Rosberg, Kobayashi, Grosjean.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think one of your selection might come through.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we're done.
What do we think of this race then, Ed?
I thought it was quite good.
It was all right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.